What is going on? It's Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieved stardom. On this episode, we hung out with Arlisa over Zoom video. Arlisa was born in Germany but raised in London and talks about how she got into music. Her dad was in a Prince tribute band. He played the keyboards, so the first instrument that Arlisa learned how to play was the piano. She quickly realized that vocals and singing and songwriting was what she wanted to do. In her early teens, Arlisa wrote and recorded a song and put it up online on a platform similar to YouTube, and it had 15,000 views in a very short period of time. So that was kind of validating, or the validating moment for Arlisa, when she decided songwriting and being a musician was what she wanted to do. At 19 years old, Arlisa ended up signing her first record deal, and that ended not so well. She went independent, had a massive hit with the song Hard to Love Somebody. Nas ended up being a huge fan of the song. A couple years later, Arlisa ended up signing another major label deal, and the same thing happened. Didn't work out at all as she had hoped, so she went independent, put out an EP independently, and we spoke to her all about her debut album, which is coming out. It's called The Open Hearted. She dives really deep into the album, the meaning behind it, how much the album means to her, and we talk a lot about the most recent single as well, which is called Games. You can watch our interview with Arlisa on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Arlisa. Hi, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God, thanks for having me.
Of course. My name's Adam, and this podcast is about you, your journey in music, and I want to talk about the album you have coming out.
Yay, amazing. I'm excited.
Sweet, awesome. Well, I always start off born and raised. Where were you born and raised?
So I was born in Germany, but I was raised in London. I'm half American. So I'm kind of a nomad because I'm trying to find where my roots are.
Interesting. So you were born in Germany, but then you moved to London. At what age did you move to London? Do you even remember living in Germany?
But I am.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I would be like a first generation Brit.
Interesting. Okay. So you don't even obviously remember Germany at all, living there. Oh. So yeah, just moving straight into the UK. Where you were in London, you said?
Yes, yes.
Oh wow, what was that like?
I love London. I'm really grateful that I grew up there. It's very cold and it's quite windy, and which leads to lots of grumpy people. But and I probably was one of them. But no, I do love it. Culturally, it's beautiful.
Did you grow up in the actual, because London's a pretty big city, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's actually quite small. I grew up in London, but I grew up in Southeast London. So it was more like, it's not on the tube line. Like, it was more buses and trains.
Oh, okay.
But it was nice. It was nice. Actually, it was pretty intense now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah?
Lots of things going on. My area was like an interesting area. Lots of things happened.
Just in general, as far as...
I remember it was like a rite of passage almost. Like, I think every person, every guy, including my own brother, every person I knew, either like got beat up, like mugged, stabbed.
Oh, man.
Kind of crazy things would happen. But I think it's gentrified now, which is terrible for everyone who is actually from there. But it doesn't look like how it looked when I grew up there.
Right. Yeah. Sure. The price of everything just goes through the roof once it gets gentrified and everything.
Oh,
done.
Yeah.
So, wow. Well, what about music? Do you come from a musical household?
Kind of. Yeah. My dad was in a Prince tribute band.
Oh, that's awesome.
He played the keys, boop, boop, boop. And then I have an interesting story. Like one of my parents loved, like my dad loved the idea of me being a singer-songwriter, and my mom very much didn't like the idea. So
Oh.
I actually do not have like a relationship with my mother. I haven't spoken to her in 12 years because I went to pursue my music career,
Oh
and
my gosh.
I with her support.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. That's
Oh yeah, no, it's life. It's life doing its life thing.
Yeah, I mean to have a your father be, into music and especially being in a band, like I mean to play in a Prince cover band and then not be really that supportive of him. That's I'm sorry, that doesn't sound like the best situation.
Oh no, my dad was really supportive. My mother wasn't
Well,
supportive.
that's what I mean. Like
Oh
the fact that your dad was like, "Yeah, I'm in a band," and then your mom's
yeah.
like, "No, you're not doing anything to do with this." It's just like,
Oh yeah, it's different. It's a different. My mom was also a singer, and I just think she didn't want me to live her dream.
ah, okay.
Yeah.
So, where? What about was piano the first instrument you learned? I mean, having your dad play
Yeah.
keys. Okay.
Keys. I'm not very good at keys. I was at some point good at keys, and then I turned, I don't even know what age. Basically, my attention went elsewhere, and my musical abilities on the instruments, I gave less attention to, and I focused really just on my voice and writing. I
Oh
just,
wow. So
yeah.
you did you started writing early on as well?
Oh yeah. Like when I think when I was like 14, I wrote my first song. I
Wow.
put it on this. I put it on this site called Meta Cafe, which I think was like this competing site with YouTube at the time.
Okay.
And I remember it had like 15,000 views or something. And I was
Wow.
like, oh my God. And I was like, I can do this. I can do it as a career.
Oh,
And
so that was kind of like the validating moment for you then.
then, mostly, yeah.
Wow.
Views. Isn't that funny? We're like, I we're so we're a sucker for the views and the
Of course, right? I mean, but to get 15,000, if you think about it, I mean, this is like around the YouTube kind of coming up days. There wasn't probably a whole lot of people on the internet and seeking out music that way at that point. And to find 15,000 people that were interested in listening to your song.
It was cool. I was a little baby child, and it was.
When you wrote the song, I mean, were you in musical theater or did you do choir or chorus or anything like that prior to starting to write your own songs?
I actually, funnily enough, I when I was younger, I applied for this school called the Brit School, which is like a big deal in the UK, and a lot of people, I think Adele went to Brit School, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, I think I've interviewed somebody else that went there too. It's
Yeah.
really, they only take a hand, like a small
Yeah.
handful of people, right?
Oh yeah, and I remember I really wanted to go, and I couldn't apply for the music section because I didn't have this like GCSE in music. GCSE is like it's below SATs, but it's just another like exam kind of
Oh,
thing.
it's just like a test you have to take?
Yeah, and my school didn't do music. They did it after school, but I had a very, very strict upbringing. I wasn't like allowed out after school, so I would just lie and say I was like doing after school activities so I could go and have like a social life. And then this
Oh, okay.
is why you shouldn't be a strict parent, because your child will find a way. And
Trust me, I know.
it's like, and it stopped me from actually doing music GCSE after school, so I couldn't apply for that, but I could apply for musical theater. So I was like, that to me, that was like the next best thing. And I didn't get in, and I was so sure I was going to get in. I was like, I fucking nailed it. So I appealed and I applied again. And I went and I was like, please just give me feedback. Like, what did I do wrong? And they said that I wasn't good at being like in chorus, and a lot of musical theater was about like not standing out and more blending in. And I was like, oh, I want to stand out. And then they also
Interesting.
said
You would
that.
think that like musical theater, you wouldn't want to blend in. They would want somebody that has a big
Oh yeah.
personality.
But they were like, it's about teamwork and like you're not always gonna get like a main part, blah, blah, blah. And then they also commented, they were like, great singer, great acting, 2 out of 10 dancing, terrible dancer. And I was like, that is hilarious. And it's true. I can't dance.
But you know, well, did you ever take dance? I mean, was that something you were even interested in?
Oh, I love to dance.
Okay.
But I can't dance. I'm a very tall person, and I just look like a string bean flailing in the wind.
Well, I can't dance either, so wait, so you ended up not even, you didn't get into Brit school then?
I didn't get into Brit school. I didn't.
You showed them, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to there's one, I have this dream of mine, which is to win a Brit award and to be like, this is for all the people who didn't get into Brit school.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. You
know, it's the Pisces new moon, and I'm very into manifesting, and I'm like, that's what I claim. I claim that.
I love that. I hope that happens for you. That'd be so good. So you write your first song, you said 14, 15 years old, and you put it up on this website, gets 15,000 views. And at that point, you said you kind of knew that this is songwriting and being an artist or singer, that's what you wanted to do.
Yes.
Okay. And then moving forward, was it, this song got 15,000 views, let's write another one and see how that does.
Kept writing and writing. And then the way I got into music is, this is how the universe works, honestly, to me, because I felt very aligned. I feel very aligned with my purpose as a singer-songwriter. And I had said it out to the universe, this is what I want to do. Funnily enough, my next door neighbor worked at this production house, and he came over and I played for him. And he was like, you're great. I think I showed him a YouTube video as well or something, but he was like, you're great, you should come to this production house. And I would go there and I would like make everyone tea and like learn, and we would write songs. It was my first time being in that environment of a real like music environment, mm-hmm. with like incredible producers and songwriters. And I kind of spent a lot of my time in that environment, pretty much stopped going to school, nearly got kicked out because school to me didn't serve a purpose in my life.
Especially at that point, if you knew what you wanted to do, and you essentially have like an internship, right? You're learning how to do the job and the gig that you want anyway. So it's like, well, I don't need to learn all this other nonsense.
Exactly. And I ended up writing an album at 16.
Wow.
And it never came out, but I did end up signing a deal, and the deal was not good. It wasn't great, and things just didn't, you know, there was a lot of things I had to learn in terms of trusting myself. I had a lot of older white cis males telling me that this is the way I should be in music, mm-hmm. and I was young and impressionable, and I was like, I'm just trying to, I want to be successful, and you guys are successful, so I'm gonna listen. So
sure.
I had times where I, you know, didn't back myself in music, and then found myself in positions I didn't want to be in. So that was like my first go around the label route.
Mm-hmm. I could see that being hard. I mean, to be 16 years old and you're doing what you want to do, like, this is it, this is what I want to do, you will probably take any suggestion that these people would throw at you, it be, you know, you should sound like this, or this is the song, you should go like this, and this is your style, and this is the whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're at that point, you're just like, well, I want this to work. I guess this is how it happens. But yeah, I know. I've spoke to other people that have had a similar story where it's like they're being pushed or put in this box in a place they didn't want to be, or like, this isn't what I want. Like, this is turning into something I don't want.
Yes. Completely. And yeah, that's what happened. And it, you know, I ended up going, I signed to them when I was 19. I left when I was 21, I think. Put out only one or two songs in that time. And then I went independent.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a bunch of songs, like really just spent a lot of time getting to know myself and trying to find myself. And somewhere along the years that went by, I wrote Hearts Ain't Gonna Lie, and that was like viral.
Mm-hmm. And how did that, did it go viral? Like, where did people start finding it, and how did it kind of achieve what it ended up doing?
Viral, I posted it on Facebook of all places, and it ended up getting like 80 million views or something crazy in like a really short amount of time. Like I remember it got like 2 million views in like a day or something, but and then it just kept climbing.
Sure.
That was like a big life-changing moment for me, and a lot of everything that I've done is attributed to that song. But mm-hmm. I ended up signing another deal because of that song, and it was crazy because I always relate really heavily to this song that Pink did, where she's like, she talks about L.A. Reid, and she's like, L.A. told me that you'd be a pop star. All you have to do is change everything you are. And I remember, you know, going to these people, and they were like, we love you, this is so great, having them listen to my other songs. And then going, once I signed the deal, being like, okay, we see you this way.
Like a bait and switch.
Yeah, like just a complete switch. And I was like writing all this music, and they were like, no, this isn't you, this isn't you. And so it was another time when I'd found myself in a deal where people were going, that's not you, that's not you, that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? Because I think it is who I am, because it's coming out of my body.
Yeah. And is it like, you all are here because of the song that I wrote? That was me. Like,
yeah.
Who the hell are you to tell me that these other songs that are all aligned with what I had already done that made 80 million views aren't what, you know, isn't what I should be doing?
Like, what? Yeah. No, exactly. And it was really strange. So once again, I found myself in this position where I just wasn't happy. I was coming out with music that wasn't really representative of the person that I believed I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't very happy. So just before the pandemic, that relationship, you know, we parted ways again. And I was like, okay, so now I'm independent again. Mm-hmm. I put out my first EP in the pandemic. And then since then, I have like independently been releasing music. And that came from 3 years of like in that time when we were all at home, like really mm-hmm. sitting with myself and asking myself, why am I a musician? Why do I love writing music? What speaks to me? Who am I? What are all these things I have? Where are the blockages inside of me? Like what do I need to work on? And I spent a lot of time just finding roots within myself, because I'm a mm-hmm. very you know, especially with my upbringing, kind of not having a real place to call my own. So I realized that I was constantly trying to find home in other people, like not just in music, but just like in my entire being.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to find roots in myself and a home in myself, it made me immovable. My foundation was strong. So now I've been putting out music and being much more of like a businesswoman in the sense of, you know, very carefully and intentionally seeing like what best aligns with me, whether it's like brand deals or whether it's where my music should be placed on TV or blah, 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 all these things. Like it's becoming much more like, okay, does this align with who I am, rather than I'm just trying to like be out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was it hard? I mean, to go through two label situations where like, you know, at 15, 16 years old, at least what I would know as the music industry was like, okay, you start your band or your thing, and then you get signed to this major label, and then life is grand. And to have kind of that happen twice and not pan out, or have these people tell you what you should be and how you should write your songs. And was that something that you're like, is this really my calling? Like, I mean, obviously you knew that it was, because you're talented and you've been validated on many levels with your songwriting, but like, was it difficult to be like, okay, should I even continue to move forward with this? Or was it always like, I'm just going to do it and fuck them, I'm going to go independent?
I always, you know, I had a producer tell me once that the only difference between like someone making it and someone not making it rarely has anything to do with their talent and everything to do with their perseverance. So it's like, there was never a part of me that was like, this isn't for me, why isn't it working? To me, it's like, I just felt like I had to continue to fight for myself, because mm-hmm. I always look at the patterns and the things that I need to like learn from. And something I had never done was fight for myself. So in having these experiences, which were very necessary for me to become the person that I am now, because it's like, yeah, you really learn who you are when you have your heart broken in whatever form, because you have to kind of reach out. And when your heart's broken, you see like what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
You see what you're made of. And I kept putting myself in these really heartbreaking situations, and I found out what I was made of, and it made me a much stronger person. And now I just continue to move forward in a way that best aligns with my being.
Is that what kind of set the precedence? Or, I mean, the album is called The Open Hearted, right? I mean, is that kind of where that all started to stem from? I know you had an EP you said you put out during the pandemic, which I just want to touch on real quick, because that you said you put that out independently. And was that something that you had begun writing? I mean, during the pandemic, was before the pandemic, was that kind of when the label situation fell apart, or was it during the pandemic? Like, where does that fall as far as your songwriting and then putting out that EP?
It was before the pandemic. And I basically couldn't get any of my music back, even though I'd written it. And producers that I had like chosen myself. So it was a crazy time where I remember them being like, okay, you're not with this label anymore and we can't get your music, so you have to write new music. And I was so heartbroken because I was very excited to put those songs out and they were my songs. I was like,
how right.
do I take away like my own creative liberty? That doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, we fought hard to get those songs back. But then in that time, I was like, well, I can't just wait and do nothing while I try and get these songs back. So I just wrote new ones.
Okay.
And I put them out independently as an EP, and it was my first EP. Because before that, I would write a song and then put it out immediately, like in the same week I wrote it. So this was the first time that I like curated a project, a body of work in a way that I wanted it to be like production wise.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, while I was waiting to get my old songs back. But then after that, once we finally got them back, I didn't even want them back anymore, because I changed so much as a person. So again, I have so many bodies of work, so many albums that I've never seen the light of day.
Wow.
And probably won't, which is crazy, because a lot of people, it's a different story in the sense of they have so many albums and then like they come out and you have this crazy back catalog.
Right.
I have a great back catalog, but it's not in terms of like bodies of work. This is going to be my first album completely based on the person that I am now.
Mm-hmm. I love that. With this EP and I forgot where my questions were going. But you talked about having, you know, the songs that the label had, so you had to write new ones, and then putting out the EP. Like, did you, being independent, you spoke earlier about kind of having, now you are able to come up with your own like strategic plan for releasing songs and doing it your way, how you want to do it, without having a label or somebody tell you, oh, this song needs to go first, then you had to wait 8 months or whatever. Was that kind of, how was that pretty freeing to be like, okay, I finished this whole EP and I'm just going to put it out there and see what happens?
Yeah. I mean, it's super freeing, but at the same time, it's super expensive, because then you don't have the label's money anymore.
Ah, sure.
And that's the crazy thing, to be like, okay, now I have all this creative freedom, but I don't have the same bank that I had.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, because then again, you have to be so careful with all your choices. You have to make like different deals. Like, you have to do different shares. Like, it's a totally different game when you are your own business and you're not relying on the support of essentially like an investment, you know, bank.
Yeah, they're basically the bank, right? Yeah, they're going to go, here's your loan. And if you don't pay us back, then you owe us. But if if you start making money, we're going to take a portion of it.
Yeah. 99% of it. Like, it's crazy. So it's this funny catch-22 where you're like, okay, well, what's better? But then it's obviously, that's the thing. That's where perseverance comes in, and like truly believing in yourself, because you just have to keep pushing forward and knowing that it's all about like, it's all about action. And just one action a day will put you in a different place. And it's all about creating serendipity for yourself. So that one action can create an array of different actions for you, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, and then therefore, like, it's less daunting because you're not like, okay, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for this? And how am I going to do that? You're just like, okay, well, let me just do what I can control in the moment, because that can lead me to a completely different space. Because and the way it works is like, whatever your plan is, it's probably not going to go that way, because the world is just doing its world thing.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you just have to make a plan for the day and just say like, okay, today, this is what's in my control. This is what I'm going to focus on. I wonder where that will lead me tomorrow, and then find out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I've been in 12-step recovery for like a year plus now. And that's kind of like this, you know, similar, like, you know, just take it one day at a time. Like, you can't control everything. It's all about just giving it up to God. Like, okay, what's this day going to look like? Just keep me sober and keep me moving forward or whatever.
Exactly. Just like one step.
One step.
Control.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So, well, tell me about the album. I had a chance to hear it. I think I've got a link to the songs on it, and I think it's an incredible record. The couple standout songs that I can just think of off the top of my head, Losing Me. I love that song. And I love in the bridge, there's like all these clips, right, of different, that's such a great song.
Thank you so much. My manager was like, Losing Me, really? I was like, Losing Me is one of my favorite fucking songs.
I thought it was a great song.
And the clip in it is Ram Dass, who is one of my personal favorite gurus. I always make this joke that in a past life, I was in the 70s, in a past life, I was a guru groupie. I just know it. I was naked, rolling around the field. I was probably having sex with the gurus. I probably was. And I just love him. And he was very much part of my spiritual awakening, if that's what you want to call it. Where his just message is all about, you know, he has this really famous book that's called Be Here Now, but it's just all about like the moment. And it's funny because in all these spiritual texts and all these spiritual lessons, it's always the same message, which is just like, be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Moment. Like, you don't have to do anything else. Just like, be here.
It's simple. Keep it simple.
That's so fun. I'm so glad you love that. I love that song so much.
Yeah, that one. I love that one. And the other two that really I could just, it caught my ear listening to it were My Heart Is on the Floor. I think that's I love that one. And then Love My Life is a great. Was the one I've been playing. Those three are like, not that the rest of the record isn't awesome. I'm just saying that those are the ones that really stuck out to me. I was like, damn, these are, you know,
that's like
great.
Amazing, because I haven't heard anyone say those three. Everyone has like a completely different three.
Oh, interesting. I wanted what I mean, the current single is Games, which is awesome.
Thanks.
Which ones? I'm just curious now, because I've listened to the record through a couple times.
Amazing.
And but I would go back to those ones on more of a,
and that's amazing, because I nearly actually, My Heart Is on the Floor needs a little work. So you've got like there's like three records that need like a little bit of work, and that was so interesting that you said that one, which I
like that one.
Close to taking it off, I was like, I need too much work, I'm gonna take it off. Crazy. And then I do love About My Life, but a lot of people's favorite is Hard to Be, which is actually one of my favorites, and that's my next single.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then what else do people love? I can't think of, I'm trying to think of them off the top of my head, and I'm struggling. Yeah, lots of different favorites. Like one of my best friend's favorites is Games. One of my other best friend's favorite is Bluebird, which is the last song.
Yeah.
Like it's all just like a different one of my favorites, which I'm is also a Therapist, which I love.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I love that one so much because it's true. not that that means anything to
Well, I love because it the album really takes you on a ride. I mean, there's some really slow songs on it, and then like more a couple of the ones that I like, the more upbeat one. I know like My Heart Is on the Floor is probably maybe the most upbeat on the record. or one of the more upbeat ones on the record.
One of the punchier ones. Yeah.
Yeah, punchier. That's a good way to describe it. It's an amazing album. So it sounds like, I mean, just going through what you have with the label and everything else, like, you know, just having like the open hearted is your take, and just like you kind of being reborn, I guess is a weird way to say it, but like, is that kind of the direction of the album? Like, kind of tell me about the album.
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, I wrote the album. Story of it is I had just left my marriage because I was married, and then I had dove straight into this relationship in this very Eat, Pray, Love style. I honestly watched the movie again for like the 100th time, and I was like, damn, I'm so unoriginal. I did the same thing. Like that story is my story. But I dove into this other relationship, and I really thought that that was like, of everything I'd done, I thought that this was like the thing. This was going to be like the end game thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And it, you know, collapsed. And it was devastating for me because I had just gone through this intense heartbreak, which I hadn't grieved yet, because I didn't have the time to grieve it because I had dove into something else straight away. So when that ended, I just like had these two crazy heartbreaks kind of like pour out of me. But really the album before was called The Broken Hearted, and I felt like I had just manifested these two huge heartbreaks. And I realized like the power of my words, especially as words is something I feel like is a gift of mine that I am on this plane with. So I was like, okay, well, my words are really like potent. So why am I manifesting all of this heartbreak? Why don't I, despite going through this heartbreak now, I've learned so much in the process. I want to keep my heart open through all the bullshit. I don't want to live a life with my heart closed. I want to explore my feelings. And because I didn't get to like fully grieve my first relationship, now I have, but at the time I hadn't. I was very intentional at making sure I got all of my emotions out of my body and into the music, so they didn't have to live in me anymore. So the album is very much me, like, it's really just exploring the heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's really about the most recent heartbreak. I basically wrote a whole album about the end of my marriage, but then that one, again, doesn't see the light of day because I dove into something else. So now this is the recent heartbreak that I had, which is crazy.
But, wow.
Yeah.
And so was Games a song? Because I know that is similar. I mean, it has a storyline of being, you know, with someone, but you don't know if you should be with that person yet, or that far in because of being any kind of in a past thing. Was that was that the same relationship, or is this something else? Like, what was Games?
So, Games was about the practice of, I guess, ethical non-monogamy. So before my relationship had ended, oh God, I feel like I'm like really going into fucking gossip, but it's not gossip. It's like, but before my relationship had ended, I had like asked for an open relationship.
Okay.
And then I met someone, and Games was very much like about kind of getting a little bit too deep into the new relationship, and knowing that I was like potentially playing with fire and that I was going to end badly, which it did. Because we always know. And then funnily enough, Pieces, which is also on the album, which features my friend Duckworth, who's an incredible artist. That one was about falling in love with somebody else, the new person, but still having my heart broken over my last relationship, my marriage. So it was like, even though my heart's broke, I'll love you with all the pieces. So what I learned from that was, do not love someone with your broken heart, because it doesn't work. You have to take the time to grieve and heal before you enter something else. Because otherwise you're entering with a wounded body and like you have pain points and anything that can be said and anything that happens, it's like, because you haven't healed, it hurts more. So I learned a lot.
Yeah, I love that message. I mean, it's so true.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was therapeutic when it's all out there, right? Now you're like I finally, yeah.
I can move on. And that's the thing. I feel really grateful that I have that gift where I don't have to let grief live in my body. I think that we all have an art form, whether it's even like going to the gym or like painting or speaking or whatever, where we don't have to let grief live in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to put it into my art. And then I get to look at my album and go, oh my God, these are all the feelings I felt while making that album, but I don't feel that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like the beauty of transmutation and alchemy as a whole and being a human, because I think that us as human bodies, that's our gift, is we can transmute energy. So I took all of that sadness and I transmuted it into something like quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing album. I think it comes out in May, beginning of May. Is that what I saw?
I think so. Yeah, which is crazy. I need to like get my fucking head down and finish these little tiny bits.
Well, because I was going to say, it sounds amazing to me. I can't wait to kind of hear those tweaks that you make on the final version of it. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for doing this today, Arisa. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I have one more question before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Yes. Do not be precious about your work. Just keep creating and putting it out and your audience will find you. And what else? Yeah, just don't care about the likes and the views and all that stuff, because it really doesn't matter. And everyone's too busy in their own world. Because I think a lot of times people don't put things out because they think, in this day of oversaturated social media, mm-hmm. they think no one's going to care or no one's going to pay attention. It's going to look bad. It's not true. No one cares. Like, you're right. No one cares. But someone will care and it will mean something to them. So do it for yourself first and then